O God, we pray for all mankind, the nations far astray. We plead that all thy grace may find in this thy gracious day. Help all the nations near and far, awake, thy glory see. Behold the bright and morning star, the Christ of Calvary. May we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee in this hour, we pray that Thou wouldst open our hearts and open our minds that we might receive the message that Thou hast for us. We pray for our seminary. We pray for the opportunities that we have here. And we pray that we might take advantage of these opportunities in gratefulness, realizing that Thou hast given us so much. How grateful we are for the friends that we have here, for those students and those faculty members and those administrators that are so dedicated to their task. We pray that we might truly find ourselves anew in Thee with each passing day to rededicate our lives to Thee. Our Father, we pray for ourselves because we're so weak. We pray that we might not be swept up in our own pride, that we might not put ourselves on a pedestal and look up at ourselves, but that we might remain humble, that we might truly try to practice in our own lives those principles which Jesus gave us. Our Father, especially at this time, do we pray for the leaders of the world, those who make important decisions, those upon whom the lives of millions rest. We pray that they might be guided by Thy wisdom, that they might call upon Thee for guidance. Our Father, we pray that in all that we do, that we might have grateful hearts. How grateful we are for those things that we forget to thank Thee for so often, even for the air that we breathe, for the food that we eat, for life itself. Our Father, we pray that Thou wouldst make our hearts aright, that Thou wouldst instill within us a concern and a deep compassion for those around the world that are lost, that our sense of missions, that our willingness to either be sent or be concerned might be keenly aware of those in foreign countries as well as at home who do not know Thee. We pray that we might not forget these people, but that we might constantly remember them in our prayers and do all that we can to help the spreading of Thy word from this campus. Be with us during this service. Speak through the one that is to speak to us this morning, and may he speak the words that we should hear. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I would like to read for our scripture this morning from the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John, the 31st through the 38th verses. Meanwhile, the disciples besought him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him food?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages, but gathers fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you did not labor. Others have labored, but you have entered into their labor."
I have been asked to announce that tonight, February 2nd, at 6 p.m. in the seminary cafeteria, the mission band will meet for a dinner meeting. Mr. and Ms. Michener will speak to the group. They will also show slides, and the president of the mission band assures me that everyone who comes will receive a great deal from the program in its variety, that it will be geared to all. In almost less than a month's time, our seminary will be honored to have our annual student missions conference. This is something that I think all of us always look forward to. Those of us that have been here before remember the many high experiences that we have had at this gathering. To those of you who have not been to the Student Missions Conference, we would encourage you greatly to go. March 3rd, 4th, and 5th will mark the dates of our Missions Conference. And this morning, the Spiritual Preparation Committee is in charge of the chapel service. This committee has been formed with a great realization that we must, in the best way we possibly can, prepare our seminary for those who come to be with us. Not thinking primarily of ourselves, but those college students who will be with us those 3 days. So we ask you to forget about self at this time and to remember them. The Student Missions Conference, as any mission conference would have to be, is thinking of the world. But how often is the world something that is way off and very far removed from us? Has it not been very truly said that the greatest mission field is a man's own heart? And here the world starts, and we move from ourselves outward. Great emphasis will be put in this meeting and in this conference on all types of missions, in the sense that it will not necessarily be a vocational calling, putting emphasis on people who are in government service or any type of service that minister to people wherever they go. This is being exemplified by the opening night speaker, who will be the Honorable Brooks Hayes, who will open the missions conference. I think we realize immediately the great responsibility that we have as these students come. They are coming to seek, to know, and for 3 days we might say they'll be saturated with the theme of missions. They are exposing themselves. They want to know. Some won't. Some might just come to visit the campus, others to see someone else. That was my case last year when a friend came to visit me. He left very impressed and said, "Never did I realize before that as a Christian, I am a missionary too. It is not something I just have knowledge about. Rather, it is something that I participate in each day of my life." Therefore, they come to be informed. They will ask questions. And yes, we will even go so far, certainly not through pressure or by any unduly mean, but a commitment will be asked. A concept of missions I expect we all have. It is rather hard in this time to present a proper concept of missions, but I think all of us have the knowledge of its great task. It's a person who bears, and a person who bears with great hope. This hope is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Many do thirst for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many do look for this answer unto life. Missionaries have told us this. I have never experienced it by going to a foreign field. I have seen it in a local field or in a field in our nation. But this is not always true. There are some people who do not thirst after the gospel. And I think missionaries would also bear testimony to this. Some nations are quite satisfied with the situation which they are now in. Their culture is fine. Their religion is quite adequate. Nothing else is needed. And these imposters who come in, we do not need them. They have nothing to say to us. May we take the nation of Israel, the Jewish nation, and a new nation in the sense of its geographical locale. Has this not been a hard field of labor? Take into consideration the people who go to these countries. And because a hard field of labor, this is in no way reflecting upon those who have labored there so faithfully in the few years that this mission field has been opened up. But I could not help from thinking about those who sow and those who reap in the personality of each one of us as Christians. Some have sown before us and we reap because they cared enough to sow. We will sow each day, and maybe we will not reap from that which we have sown, but others will come to reap. The story is told of a man who grew rhododendrons, the beautiful flowers. He was 75 years of age as he showed his friend around the beautiful garden that he had. Evidently, rhododendrons take a long time to grow, for he pointed out to his friend a place where seeds had been planted. And he said, "Now, not for 25 years will we see the beautiful bloom off of this flower." Yet when he said this, it was with great expectancy and just as though he would be able to see it himself. Is this not the vitality and hope that we possess as Christians? This summer it was my privilege to be at Glorietta Baptist Assembly. My work there was audiovisual aid. We had one film that was shown a great deal, the new story of Lottie Moon. It has just been out for about a year and a half. There was a retired missionary from China. I can only remember her name was Miss Addie. I cannot remember her last name. When she heard about the film, of course, she was quite anxious to see it. And after she saw it, she was quite pleased. One day, she was talking to one of the boys that worked with us, and she had known this family, and she was talking to him, and she was very enthused and thrilled, as I think only missionaries can be many times, over the film. And she began to speak of the mission enterprise. And as she was speaking, I began to build up in my own mind, missions, really, aren't they absolutely useless? Especially in such a place like China. We go in an entirely different culture, something that we have not experienced before, and even greater, a barrier of language. And though we might come to know Chinese, we're taking this for an example, very well, we would probably never know it like the native knows it. How in the world could we ever communicate with these people? And she had built this up all the time that I was building it up in my mind. And then she said to this boy, "But you know, all of this can be cast aside. Oh no, it'll meet you each day. And you'll never forget it because it is always before you. But how the Spirit of God will open the hearts of men." Don't ever forget that, Marshall. Wherever you go, the love of God will open the hearts of men. You can do your part in whatever you have to give. Quite true, rationalizing, maybe missions would be simply useless. But the great hope that we have in the love of God, the power of Christ Jesus, makes it the most meaningful endeavor in the world. For we as Christians have the greatest life and love to share in that of Jesus Christ. So I think of the personality of the missionary as a person expressed by Browning in his epilogue to Osolando. One who never turned his back, but marched breast forward, never doubted clouds would break, never dreamed though right were worsted, wrong would triumph. Hell we fall to rise, and are baffled to fight better, sleep to wake. What can we do as these students come to be with us? Our committee in no way would enforce any person to do anything. It will be, and we want it to be, strictly on a voluntary basis. We ask, first of all, that you remember these students in your personal devotional life. Some of you might know some people that are coming. Especially would we ask that you remember them. Think and meditate. And then, would you remember them in your prayer groups? We really have no way of knowing how many there are on this campus. Our campus is so flexible in that so many students drive in and leave during the day. Some only stay 3 nights. Others are gone on the weekends to their churches. But there are those of us who will be here at all times. And we can remember these as they come in prayer. However, we do not think this is enough. We ask the most important thing that you can give. We ask that you give yourself. These students will be coming, and we are looked to in a vocational calling such as the one which we are in. Not that we are above, but people look to us for a type of guidance, for a guidance that will strengthen and help in life. When these people come, we could do several things. They might seem trivial, they might seem small. They might make all the difference in the world. First of all, please, interest and involvement of self. Talk to them, visit with them, eat with them, and show them that you are more interested in them than anyone. I dare say there are a few of us who sit or stand here today who look back through our lives in some way. We could not say thank you to someone who took time, who had love, and who had patience to be with us when not so kind, not so ugly, not so willing. Not clay that was pliable. Maybe it was a mother, a father, a friend, a pastor. But someone took enough time to show that they were interested. God does work in mysterious ways. We call no man to the mission field. We call no man to any service. But may our attitude be as such that they will feel welcome, that they will feel this is a good place to be. And in these 3 days, as we have heard, presented to us in love, this has helped us to make, at least better see, that which life has for us. Some of us do not have the Pauline experience. Many of us, I dare say, have to look at our lives. And we come to the place where we interpret those actions in our lives. And from that point of interpretation, we step out in faith. Our task is a great one, one of every Christian. Though all the world may seem to be in despair, yet we as Christians always have hope. That hope is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray. We are thankful for the meaningful lives that have meant so much to us, Father. And our prayer is that we might be good servants of Jesus Christ. Guide us and direct us in our studies here. As we live for Thee, may we live with hope and in the search for truth in our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.